see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that leaves the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome back to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble, and we're back at it. I can't begin to tell y'all why what happened this afternoon in my broadcast, and the sound went awry. I have no idea. We're back to normal, and I didn't do a thing to it. Not a thing. It's just back to normal. I think I'm going to name it Hal. Something like that. Tonight, I'm going to talk about, shortly, why the Illuminati reveals themselves. And I may cover this again on Monday, for those that don't attend the Bible study. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this. I'm going to go into what I told you I was going to talk about. How to be a happy Christian, and the Jesus Christ, the mighty God. We'll talk about that also. That's the main purpose tonight. So, a little bit, why does this satanic Luciferian organization call themselves or tell us what they're going to do before they do it? Why do they? But this is what they do. Let's know what they're going to do before they do it. Why is that? I'll discuss that shortly. And how to be a happy Christian. And Jesus, the mighty God. He's not just a prophet. He claimed to be God. Now, I talked a couple of days ago about his existence. And we got through that. Now comes the second part of it, is once you prove to them his existence is beyond the Bible, it's even in Roman historians, Jewish historians, Muslims, confirm Jesus Christ existed. That's not even the issue. But then comes the second part, is his divine nature that he claimed to have. And that's going to be a challenge tonight. And in knowing this, how to be a happy Christian. Because everybody says, oh, you're one of those Christians, you're no fun to be with. But one thing about it, you can't live in both worlds, though. I tried to live both worlds. You go to church, and then you live how you want to live after. It don't work that way, y'all. Not at all. You got to make one decision or the other. The two don't mix. I'm dedicated to broadcast now before I started. When I get started, you know me. I keep just pumping it out. I just do. Lord, we thank you tonight. We come together on this day for a Bible study. Father, we have that opportunity now. Thank you for this network. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for divine appointments that, Lord, we know you set up for us. Father, give us discernment, wisdom to do the right thing in these divine appointments and to hear your word and what you want us to do. Whether it's angels unawares or those in need of help or those where you're testing our loyalty and fulfill our words and promises. The Father, you'll guide us with conviction if we fall away and lift that burden if we succeed, that, Lord, that you guide us and teach us. We pray for our veterans, Lord, to give them discernment and wisdom in what's yet to come. And to protect bodies from these drugs and the microchips and the voice-to-skull technology that's being done to their heads, that, Father, you tear down this technology and make it unworkable. Father, we pray for children that's being sought after, kidnapped for these sacrifices that's coming up. And, Father, to comfort those families that's missing loved ones. And that some, Father, you can bring home. Father, we pray tonight that you guide us in learning about Jesus Christ, the mighty God, and, Father, what to make us live a fruitful life as a Christian, as born-again Christian, and to share that among others, to give us those opportunities and divine appointments. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. In these things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, we've got a lot of challenges coming up. You're going to have a lot of interruptions. It's going to increase. We notice it already. The bottom line of all this is how to be born again. Then everything just falls in place. Well, it's not quite that entire easy because of the interruptions. But to be born again, the sinner must recognize he's a sinner. That means pride and ambition and all that's got to go. Isn't our world put around pride, achievement? You got to be number one. Number two, not good enough. I lived through that all my life. Football, you know, football, played football for 8 to 10 years. And we're number one. We're, you know. And it's normal, it's natural, but it's not what God intended. We were created not to be state champions. We were created to worship God. Our ambition, our pride, ego, has to be removed to be able to humble ourselves before God. And for me to say that is, because I was a football player, played a lot, and college too, and Marine Corps, well, that goes without saying, pride in your uniform. When you're a U.S. Marine, you're going to guard the streets of heaven. If we go to hell, we're going to take over. Well, I got news for you. That's not going to happen. There's no need for heaven to be guarded. Let's get realistic. But that's the part of building the pride. The streets are guarded by U.S. Marines. Well, I got news for you. They're not. In reality. We said these things to build pride in our military. That's what kept us from being blessed by God. All the wars have been set up by Satan through the Vatican, through the Illuminati, for generations before the event ever happened. War started as a result of certain events during that decade that caused it to happen. No. Wars were planned a century before they happened. And then the details, is called history, are fabricated. That's an eye-opener, man. That's like, what? That turns everything upside down. That's why people can't imagine it. So when you go to Harvard, where you go? I go to Harvard. I got a 4.0 in Harvard. Where are you going? I'm a history major. Yeah, I'm a history major. I know all about history. No, they don't. You understand the impact of what I'm saying here? That the history taught Harvard or Yale or Stanford or I don't know, just name a college, it don't matter, is totally 100% corrupted. And not even true. That's a sweeping statement to make, but it's proven. But they still have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. They have to do that. So why does the Illuminati reveal themselves? Well, I talked about last night the real reason why. Oh, they got, you know, subtle reasons, and they talk about, I'm going to tell you all here shortly, very quickly, actually. I want to get with it. But just give an idea. Is the real reason is that God requires his prophets to tell us what's going to happen before it happens. I think they call it prophecy, you know. Well, why would he not require Satan to also do the same? Satan has some reign of freedom because of free will, but there's some places Satan just can't go. Some things Satan can't do and must do until the time that judgment comes. The importance is to be obedient to what the Lord's asked of us and speak forth his truth. And those who have ears to hear will hear. But you who've been commanded by the Lord to declare his warnings upon the people of the judgment that awaits, should they refuse to repent and continue in sin? That's the number one. So if you remain silent and utter not a word of warning to your brother or sister, if you withhold the truth, and such they die in their sins, you, as the watchman, will be responsible for the spiritual death. It is the will of the Father that the warnings go forth, that his children may be led to repentance. Those called to be the watchmen must speak forth all the Lord commands you to speak. That's the number one reason. He requires this. therefore they must also. They do it rather tricky-like. That would be expected, would it not? The love of the Father in this is incomprehensible. Yet many cannot see this love because it's quite visible, although it is. For it is because of his love the warnings are sent forth, that the wicked may turn from their wickedness, that the unrighteous from their sin, and that none should perish but should be saved. He says, very aptly, my people perish for lack of knowledge. There you go. If there were no love involved, then he would remain silent and command silence of his watchmen, allowing the people to perish. That's why you, Billy Graham, is wrong by not telling folks that, hey, if you're homosexual, you're going to hell. Osteen is wrong by not judging. He's reproving, rebuking, correcting. So why them being so-called theologians for decades upon decades, why are they failing at this when Billy Graham taught repentance and taught salvation, that Jesus Christ was the only one for like 40, 50 years, all of a sudden change? Age has nothing to do with it. God didn't change because Billy Graham or the Pope got old. Well, I'll tell you why. Because the emerging church, the real them, is now coming out. Because this is now when the generations have been turned toward the new age. You see, back then, in the 40s and 50s, it was the old-time religion. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, the only way to heaven is through Jesus. So for any of these theologians at that age, at that time period, would come out with another gospel, they would not be accepted, rejected, immediately. So you see the deception. They came in like wolves in sheep's clothing, announcing the truth, because that's what those wanted to hear. But the plan was for decades and decades and decades ahead to be accepted first by the older folks, then baby boomers' parents, and then the baby boomers' parents would pass it on to the baby boomers, that'd be us, and then little by little chipping away at the truth, little by little, using music, drugs, dress, everything. Planned through Tavistock, Satan worked every side of the coin, and then some, to chip away each 10 years, changing styles of music, clothing, philosophies, chipping away, each decade chipping away, till finally we're here. Baby boomers are the ones getting ready to die out, 60, 70s year old. What's left? The children of the next generation that's going to be completely under the New Age emerging church idea of humanism. Being mind numbed by video games. Do y'all understand the impact of these video games? The mental manipulation? It don't matter whether you're playing some monkey game or whether you're playing kill 'em up, bang bang, Call of Duty, whatever. Their focus of attention is focused within an 18-inch peripheral. Literally, they're not taught to look left or right. The focus concentration is gone. The morals, the values, everything is affected by what they see on TV, what they see in professional wrestling, in sports. You notice today the sports heroes are the ones with bad attitude. Remember back in the 50s and 60s, it was Johnny Unitas, haircut, not, you know, all that. It's all right, wasn't it? It's all, you know, do the right thing, good sportsmanship. Because that was a part of that generation. Little by little, professional sports stars are used to manipulate the public and the children. It's designed this way. The tattoos, the attitude, the toughness, the doing that stupid dance, the twerk when they get a touchdown or whatever, I don't know. All that's like nonsense. This is not accidental. This is by design. encouraged. It's amazing. The plannings went into this is just astounding. So why do they reveal themselves? I told you one reason, the main one. The Illuminati, the servants and slaves of Satan and the fallen angels, they reveal their domination over the Goyim, that be us, and they place their symbols on our currency, ID cards and civic and corporate logos. Their monuments and their architecture and their hand signs and signals are in music and videos and movies and ads. And man, it's everywhere. People think, well, oh man, you're going overboard. You're obsessed with it. Well, if they do the research, you'll find all these things I'm talking about go back thousands of years. ESSO was Exxon's previous logo. Notice they changed to Exxon. You know why they changed to Exxon? I'll tell you why they changed to Exxon. When you do EXXON, notice very carefully, the XX is sideways. It's a sideways cross of Lorraine. Shell is sun, not a shell, it's a sun god. Starbucks shows the witchcraft, the goddess. As they come on board with the Illuminati, they have to change their logos. Clever 666s, clever sun worship, witchcraft, very clever. Lone Star restaurant. About a year to 2 years ago, give or take, the star for the Lone Star was pointed straight up. Well, I noticed last year, summertime, fall, I don't know, summer or spring, somewhere there, it was sideways. I looked and said, wait a minute, that logo, they changed that whole logo on the top of the building sideways. I went and I talked to somebody there and said, I just got a question. I said, why did y'all's star sideways now? He said, oh, yeah, they changed that recently. Family, that's to show the satanic Baphomet. That's why they did that. Yeah, buddy. McDonald's is 13 sideways. Woo, all that stuff. Hundreds of them. The okay sign over the eye, that's 666. Okay, you got the point. It put it in your faces. I can just go on for a whole hour on that and just talk about it, but some of you already know. The Illuminati permit exposure, they say, because they get away with announcing their influence. And that's true. True enough, there's no arrest warrants. Those waiting to be served upon an Illuminati high-level meeting. They got them for, we're going to arrest Obama and Biden and Bush and Queen Elizabeth and all this. It's all baloney to placate the American public and European public. I saw Queen Elizabeth II last year in a photo. It's an unbelievable photo. And she's walking out of a building, and she's got one of her nurses in there that I wouldn't mess with. Big woman, tough looking. Well, she has a belt on, a silver belt around her waist. And she is not feminine, let me tell you. That belt buckle for the silver belt was a Masonic symbol and a pentagram of witchcraft on both sides. One was a Masonic symbol on one side. The other was a pentagram on the other on this belt buckle of this nurse. I use that term loosely. I should say bodyguard. For Queen Elizabeth II. It's such a showing photograph. And it's not photoshopped, cropped, or whatever. When they say there's going to arrest this, that, and the other, and so forth and so on, it's just to placate the public. If they ever do arrest or try to impeach, it'd be temporary. It's all just a show, like the Nuremberg trials, Warren Commission, etc., etc. The Illuminati also announce in a gleeful taunt against those who would oppose them, an adult version of Nana Boo Boo, we got you. It fits their psychological and emotional profile. They also present a consistent routine of symbolic exposure, and that in order to accustom the population to the ever-increasing influence, to the point of putting it on jeopardy. When they're ready, when they feel they're in control. That's what they did. They put it on a question on Jeopardy, a national program people watch all the time. The answer was about an organization that was secret, blah, blah, blah. And the one that did it hit the little button. Ding, 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 ding. What is the Illuminati? Yes, I made a big deal out of it. So everybody knows what the Illuminati is. You know why? Self-exposure. But number two, when they destroy the Illuminati, which will be the lie, they'll know who it was destroyed. Otherwise, they wouldn't have a clue. And this claim to destroy the Illuminati will be a lie that's yet to be perpetrated to once again placate the public. So to show a win, they must show the enemy, even though it's going to be a lie. They show you the RFID chip in the new German ID cards is more potent as an Illuminati symbol than a swastika or image of a Baphomet ID. Well, so the answer is found in TV and novels and so forth. And you know that they characterize themselves as wolves among sheep. And they're proud of this self-description as they hold to it. And the predators stalk their prey. They do not simply move in and take the kill. And so the whiffs of the scent and the stalker permitted in shades and windows and unnerving shifts of position, the prey gets spooked, and that's what they want. You're living under a tyrannical government. Oh, we are? Well, let's get out of from under it. Yes, let's do it. They want a revolution. They want to know who's not going to revolution and be in a revolution, and they want to find out who's going to. So know how to handle it. So let them know, people know, this is what's going on. The generation of adrenaline overpowers the reason. The prey can sense the oncoming attack. Panic besets the prey. And during the moments of final approach, defensive tactics are forgotten. Panic takes over. And we, the prey, they are counting on, makes the wild race of the exit. But the predators, the Illuminati, have already encircled every possible exit with a dialectic. They see themselves as the wolves stalking the sheep. I got news for them. The one that's pushing them and leading them and they're serving too is going to destroy them by giving them a false sense of security. And God's allowing it to bind them, to blind them to what's going to happen in their fate. But the other, revenge. I've talked about this before. Revenge at the highest level of Satan and the fallen angels that saw their offspring, let's say offspring, we're not talking baby Huey here. We're talking some nasty boogers, man. Nasty, nasty, nasty boys and girls. Boys, no girls. Giants and cannibalistic and unbelievable cruelty in before the flood. But nevertheless, it was their creation as manipulated DNA. Destroyed by the flood. So the core Illuminati group, the hybrid humans, for at least 2,000 years, they felt themselves engaged in a bitter vendetta amounting essentially to a blood feud. They don't see themselves as assuming power because Satan is so clever he have blinded the human servers. Satan's clever he's infused in the fallen angels a sense of they have a way out of this. They don't see themselves as merely assuming power, but they are taking back what they consider the rightful place and their natural property, being in control of human destiny. So in their minds, human history and long has been an issue of war to control people. But our future and their future is God's memory. They keep forgetting that. But the unexpected emergence of Christianity, as God maneuvered it, although it was set up for a different purpose, God maneuvered it, or at least very seriously delayed a number of Illuminati plans. The accession of Christianity, although split as it is, and that as a social political force, spiraled out of control so rapidly that the comparatively small numbers of the ancient Illuminati, they're driven into hiding and secrecy. They were sought after when their plan was discovered back in the 1700s. So they had to hide. The Knights Templar had to hide. That's when the blood feud, the vendetta began. So when they publish their presence, it's not that normal people can detect these symbols and formulate what would be a spectacular conspiracy theory, but it's an announcement of expectations of victory in a manner of a vendetta. So when they announce their influence over TV or newspaper or books or other ways, it's meant to be the voicing of a threat to their enemies and their prey. Sort of like, quote, we have established another foothold and we're coming for you in due time, unquote. What did it say? Remember that silly movie called Independence Day where the world got together to fight these aliens or whatever? It was, what, a couple years ago or something? And he gives this stirring speech against alien, evil aliens. And we will stand up again, blah, 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 blah. And, but one that's part of that movie, if you don't remember what it was, they captured one of these buckaroos and they had him in a chamber. And here's the point. They finally got him to say, or translated or whatever, what do you want? What do you want? He simply said, I want you dead. See how they work the movies? These are demons. And the movie was to reflect that. And that was a message in reality. And you know, their wolves manipulate people through fear to drive them to where they want them. It's a satanic strategy to move people through their weaknesses. And their symbols are the wolves to cry. They cannot show their faces now or else they will be unmasked and repelled. So, they put out in front, guess who? Rothschild, Rockefeller, Bundy's, all these. That's the outer core. The inner core are Italian and German, Roman. And then you got an inner core that you'll never see, Sinclair and others. Jews don't control the finances. The Knights Templar, Irish do. We got to put the blame on the Jews. And the Jews are the fake Jews. And they're working with the Illuminati to try to find the real Hebrew Jews in their bloodline. That's what Hitler was all about. It's such much a bigger picture than people even begin to realize. They kill truth tellers like McDonald, Rousseau, Bill Cooper, others. Several of the of the 50-some translators for the King James Bible whittled it down to 47. Some of those died. Our founding fathers that found out what was going on They didn't die because they were patriots. They died because they figured out what was going on. Attack on Andrew Jackson, but three times he tried to kill him for various reasons. I'm not going to go into that. Lincoln, they succeeded. McKinley, Garfield is just a bad actor. JFK, that's what, three or four, but there's more presidents assassinated that you haven't heard about in various ways. They always feared a deathbed confession. Is it not interesting that there's so many reports that when you're just about ready to die, well, Stephen, for one, Anton LaVey, he saw hell before he died, that God gives you kind of, some people kind of preempt here you're going. That's where you're headed. The Spartans, they're going back to Spartans and Amazon women. That's where they're headed. That's why they got to lift up the women to be strong, wielding a sword to fight, etc. That's why they're changing everything. And the men, DNA to be turned to more weaker, while they come up with a Spartan male warrior. It's what they're working on, the DNA. That's all Nephilim. The Spartans used to say that the foundation of freedom is a contempt for death. So we'd rather not be afraid and face them. So we're all going to die one day. All you need is a good idea to live and to die for. And that's how you measure a man. I hate to tell you, but two measures I always thought in my growing up was, of course, you had a family. But before that, my idea of a man was whether or not you put your life along the line you lived was to kill a man. That was my idea. That's why I joined the Marine Corps. I'll be honest with you. I wanted to kill somebody. I mean, I wanted to get into it. I liked fighting. I enjoyed it. Adrenaline rush. It was. You know. And they capitalized on these thoughts and lusts and desires. My idea was, if you go to a combat zone and you get in a war and you survive, well, you're a man. If you don't, well, who cares? You know, you're dead, so what? You messed up. What a dumb idea. John Wayne was a Freemason. Charlton Heston was a Freemason. And Clint Eastwood is definitely a Freemason. Audie Murphy was a Freemason. Rory Rogers was a Freemason. His wife, Dale Evans, was an Eastern Star. Shall I continue? All of them in Hollywood were in witchcraft, Freemasonry, warlocks, wizards, whatever. All of them. They would not have a contract of singing, acting, or dancing unless they signed their name over in blood to Lucifer. That's why you have one-hit wonders and people don't make it in Hollywood. Because they refuse to do that. That's the background. Because they use Hollywood as a major purpose. And that's the only purpose of Hollywood. There is no other. That's a shock. It should be. Who teaches fearlessness and aversion to Illuminati heresies and Satanism? Christianity, of course. It's clear that Christianity is an Illuminati enemy. Attempts to condemn it is Illuminati speech, but they created Christianity, though. But being a Christian is not about Christianity. Christianity was a dogma that's been so manipulated in so many different ways. Being a Christian is loving Christ. And the Bible's already set, so what do I need Christianity for? I mean, it's not about... So what they've done is taken Christianity and made it the Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Baptist with different degrees of Baptist, Calvinist with... I'm a fifth-degree Calvinist. I'm a third-degree Calvinist. What are you? I'm just a first-degree Calvinist. Has anybody checked with God on this? What degree of Calvinist will he accept you at? Really? I mean, has anybody ever asked this question? Something's not right with this. Like we can choose and pick a religion? That's what they've done. It's not about a religion. It's about whether or not you're born again and saved. Well, this is part of the reason why they reveal what they're doing. They want your soul, is the bottom line. It's not about money, or it's not about one world government. They want your soul. To get back at God because of the destruction of their creation, or their world before the flood. They want your soul. The Illuminati doesn't want just your children, your spouse, your property, or your freedom. Your birthright isn't sufficient for these Satanists. They want the ultimate prize, your soul. This is what's going on today. Not Fukushima, not the Bundy Ranch. It's not some asteroid flying into the internet, all that stuff. Fukushima, I don't know, whatever. This is something much bigger. They tell us about the conspiracy because they want us to be compromised. They want us to all become demons or something of that nature, or be able to house demons while we're being afraid, worried, scared, or on drugs. They're deliberately clumsy because they want our complicity. They don't want us to say, gee, we didn't know. They appear to be clumsy by design. Now, I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to continue tomorrow. Oh, Monday. Monday, I'm going to give you a deeper insight as to why they do what they do. But I want to give you a taste of it now. But give an example of being deliberately clumsy. Some of you all that may be astute researchers, you recall in YouTube an incident they have of Rockefeller coming out in a wheelchair, being pushed by somebody in an airport. Tom, I said, what? You got to look at this. They caught Rockefeller coming out of an airport, and they got to him. I said, really, they did, huh? Yeah, look at the YouTube. I watched it, and I said, immediately, you know, like, come on. They got Rockefeller coming out, being pushed in a wheelchair out of a public airport, and this guy with a, you know, the camera thing and the microphone and all that, like that crazy guy with Luke Randowski, whatever, and Fitzgerald, and Weird Change, and whatever. It's all Masonic organizations. And Kokesh, and all these, Reichskopf, and golly, Pete. Anyway, some guy, you're not going to get away with this, Mr. Rockefeller. You're the new world, you know. And Rockefeller's waving him off with his hand as he's getting within like 2 foot of him. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You actually believe this? He goes over, the guy with the camera and the microphone goes over to the driver's side and putting it inside the car, and the bodyguard sitting there waving him off. Like, it's all set up. Why? They want to deliberately look like they're clumsy. Bush in his second term was told to act stupid. He was told to do that. Go through different doors, do stupid things, say dumb things on purpose. It's part of the acting. This is part of the manipulation of the public. It's what's really going on. And people buy off on it. So, what's really important? Man, they're going down. They're going down. I don't pray for their destruction. I pray that some of them can be saved. When you really look at them, we can get angry and say, I wish them all to go to hell. I don't think people realize what hell's really like for an eternity. People, our minds cannot fathom in our worst human nightmare what that's like. That's why God says, but God's a just God. He can't say, well, gosh, you only told 5 lies. You know, well, hell's so bad. I'll let you get off. That's where it ends. That's where the just of God ends. When he says no lying, that's what he means. So we're like, wait a minute, man. We know, look at all the sins I've committed. Sometimes I get a little lustful and I guess I'm heading to hell. Well, no, because when you ask, when you go through the steps of taking Jesus as Savior and you truly repent of sins, which they're not teaching in churches today. So few are teaching repentance. Can you imagine? What's not being taught to millions upon millions in these mega churches? That is the sole purpose of mega churches, is to make sure that there's no personal interaction among the brethren. That is the purpose of mega churches. Just like they're making, you know, six corporations to control all the corporations, they're making all the churches, big churches, bring everybody in and teach them a corrupted theology by design and use these Bibles as corrupted other than the King James. This is the plan. And they teach you lukewarm lessons. They just sit there and you do the, you know, the dip and duck. Oh, this, oh yes, I agree. Oh yeah. Oh, what a wonderful sermon that was. Oh, all that guilt I had has just gone away. But has anybody repented? No. That's the purpose of Dr. Feelgood in the pulpit. Is no one has repented. They just feel good leaving. Oh, and give money so you feel even better. And I'll take it. It ain't about 10% tithing. It's about when you're out in the street somewhere or you read a newspaper article that somebody needs money. That's the tithing right there. 10% is not 10% today. It's 1% or 10% or 20, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, but there's no 10% tithing. They're lying in the churches. That was for the Jews that was required. And the Sabbath on a certain day was required. But Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath and Jesus fulfilled the tithing. So the Holy Spirit tells you, this person coming up to you that's needing money, that's angels unaware. You see, there's your tithing. Not so everyone can see you. Look, everybody's just going in this bag. Everybody see that? Okay. No. It's when you're doing it on your own and nobody ever knows that you gave money to that poor person or something. But God knows. That's all that matters. Nothing else. That's your tithing. And any day is good for a Sabbath. It's up to you. That's in the scripture. Holidays, there's no holidays. There's no birthdays. We celebrate what? We celebrate Jesus Christ. And we don't know when his birthday is. They figured out in the Bible, it's like September, not December. So why would we do December? It's the birthday of Mithra. Look up Mithra Tammuz. That's why. Family. And every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, are celebrations of different various fallen angels. So, family, you see that? Where am I going with this? So, how to be a happy Christian? God put in my heart to talk about that. Where am I? What's going on? Where am I today? Sometimes I get off, I go along with this and I don't know what I'm saying next. It touches me that sometimes he talks to us. He enters us and we start talking, I guess. How to be a happy Christian? When you become a child of God by being born again, this success and growth of your Christian life depends on you. It's all free will. The blessing of every real Christian life in his own community is beyond description. When others will refuse to read the Bible, your life will be read by them daily. You see? Your life is a testament. And this to the end, that you will live in a useful and joyful Christian life and bring blessing to all those around you. It's not easy to do. There are some suggestions made from some theologians, from Osborne to David Wilkerson to many others. How to be a happy Christian? Study the Bible. Is that basic or what? Even set aside at least 15 minutes a day to Bible study. Let God talk to you 15 minutes a day through His Word. That's it. Talk to God 15 minutes a day in prayer. Talk to God 15 minutes a day in testifying and personal witnessing to others. First Peter 2, verse 2. In your scriptures. Talks about that the Word of God is food for the soul. As newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the soul. What did it say it was? First Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, you can't do that if you've got corrupted Bibles missing scripture. I still can't get over that. How do these theologians, Baptists too? Well, you really, you know, the King James, I love the King James, and we read it and we use it in our ministry. But you know, if you really want to learn the word, you got to get tested. Oh, here we go. You got to read the Hebrew and the Greek. I had a preacher tell me that, Baptist preacher. He was a good old boy. I had a family there. I was in a Golden Corral and sitting beside him, and I couldn't help it. I had to poke him a little bit and see what he would say. And I said, well, it's a good thing. I'm glad to hear you all with the King James. I'm pastor. I appreciate it. That's really good to hear. It's good to know. And here comes my poke. It's what I just do it. I said, it's good to know, though, that the King James is the only true word of God, the only one they got, the only one on the face of the planet. And I wait. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Yeah, well, it's a good one, but if you really want to know the truth, you got to read the Hebrew, original Hebrew and Greek. Oh, please help me. So I couldn't let it go. I said, well, Pastor, I said, how many people on earth do you think can speak Hebrew and Greek? Well, his family took exception to that. But I said, Pastor, I said, he don't require 7 billion people to learn how to speak Hebrew. So then the air started getting a little thicker. Yeah. So what are we to do? See, English is a universal language. God knew that was coming. That way we... So that means that when you do that silly Bible code, Torah code, Latin, Hebrew, that puts the interpretation of the Bible in just a few people's hands. That's the purpose of it. Oh, you can't read Hebrew. Well, I took Hebrew and I'll read it for you. Yeah, I bet you will. That's the purpose of it. And that's why the Vatican had it in Latin. Arnold Murray says, I quote, you don't have to read the Bible, just listen to me. That's all part of a cult. A cult. Cult. No pun intended. The Word of God is food for the soul. You commit to memory one verse of Scripture each day. Try that. Join a good Bible class if you can find one. And then the problem there is you run across 10 people with 5 different versions of the Bible. How about that? And you said, Tom, you say, what? Can you read verses 1 John 5:7? You say, oh, okay, I read it. Hold on a minute, I'll read it. And when you read the scripture, you know in there that you got 10 people with 5 different versions. Some of them not read the same words you are. So what's going on in their minds? What's going on in their heads when you're reading and theirs don't match it? How much faith do they have in that Bible? Now, you always see their heads move. Yeah, what, is that what you said? Or if you do Matthew 17:21, if they don't know their Bible and they tell you, Tom, can you read 17:21? And you do, the others start thumbing through it. And I've seen this before. They start looking. And you see some, hey, do you have yours? Mine don't have that verse. Where's yours? Oh, okay. Because the verses are gone. So you're reading it and then you see them look up at you because they don't have it in their book. How come people can't raise up something and say, wait a minute. Folks, hold on a minute. Who all has their verse in there? I don't have it in mine. Who is going to have the courage to step, wait a minute, hold on. I don't have that verse in my, why don't I have that verse in my Bible? That should be the first question to ask in any Bible study when the verse is gone, man. Or does it say the same thing? Somebody got to ask that question. They don't do it. They just sit there like mushrooms. Pray much. Praying is talking to God. Talk to him about everything. Perplexities, joy, sorrow, sins, mistakes you've made, friends and enemies. And family, I don't mean talking to some guy in a phone booth that's got a cross over there and he said, yes, my son, tell me more. Yes, my son, tell me more. I tell you nothing and none of your business. That's a confession booth. They'd do better to turn it into a phone booth. Get more out of it. They turned it into a confession booth so they could find out what's going on. Goes back to the medieval ages. I kind of see that as a medieval ages Facebook. Counterintelligence was those confessional booths. You realize how significant that confessional booth is over generations upon generations? Confessing your sins to another person? That you can't even see much except through the screen. That's huge. Huge heresy. You talk to God as though he's your natural father. You do. You don't need nobody else. Talk to him in your everyday manner of language. Be careful for nothing, for in everything but prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So number one, study the Bible. Number two, pray a lot, pray much. Number three, win someone for Christ. When I was in Atlanta, Georgia, about 3 years ago, got away from the anti-terrorism stuff and all that, and I was just got back from Congo and whatever else. Not yet, I don't think I wasn't yet doing broadcasting, but I was teaching martial arts at a martial arts class, school, karate instructor. Got out of everything else and started teaching martial arts with an old friend of mine, who I found out later was a 33rd degree Freemason. That's why we wasn't getting along too well after 30 years. I found out he was a Mason, 33rd degree. He changed a lot. Anyway, I remember one day I was teaching, and then when I teach and when I talk off the cuff, not in the teaching mode, I talk about the New World Order and about this, that, and the other. And there's a former veteran came in to learn about taking classes there. And so we're talking about it. And we got into the part about war, and I started telling him, you know, here we go. And he's like, oh. So we talked for a while about the Illuminati and about the Masonry and about the war, the New World Order and all that stuff. And he leaves. About a week and a half later, he comes back, and I figure, well, he's ready to sign up, you know. He asked me a question about karate, and I said, blah, blah, blah. He said, ask you a question. I said, yeah. He said, what's going on? I'm like, This is a big old boy, too. I'm like, okay, what do you mean what's going on? Well, we talked about the New World Order, and you talked about God and all that. I said, yeah. He said, well, what's this all about, really? I said, oh. So we stepped outside, and I started talking about God. And, you know, this boy started getting tears in his eyes. This is a big boy, too, former veteran. I said, oh, my. So I said, let's walk over to the car here, because I knew my other friend was my former friend, who was the instructor or the owner, would hear us then. And him being a Freemason wouldn't appreciate we're talking about God and about Jesus Christ. And so he gets into the car, and I start talking to him about Jesus Christ. That boy started crying like a baby. I'm like, Lord, what do I do? I need some help here now. You know, I didn't know what to do. God had put before me someone to witness about the love of Jesus, about him giving his life to Jesus and so forth. At that point, about three, four years ago, I really like, wow, what do I do? This is real. This was a divine appointment. It was someone that was seeking help. I told him about Jesus Christ, but didn't really know what to do. All the steps to take to lead him there. Holy Spirit was moving, let me tell you what. Win someone for Christ, for spiritual growth, you need not only food, which is Bible study, but exercise, work out for Christ. The work Christ gives us to do is to win others. In Mark 16:15. In Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, when you run across a Calvinist, not meaning to be overly labeling somebody, but there you go. Calvinists don't believe you do that. They say, well, no, you're not supposed to do that. When I hear this, it makes my toes start curling. My jaw starts locking. Because they believe you're not supposed to go out and win souls for Christ. Right there you go. Mark 16:15. Yep, he said unto them, in red lettering, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's part of being a watchman. Ezekiel, Old Testament. 3:18. Ezekiel 3:18 in the King James Bible. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not a warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Did y'all get that? Did you get that? You understand the implications here of what I've just read to you? If that be the case, then riddle me this. What about this particular set of comments?
Phoenix, Arizona. Hello.
Hello, Larry. You're the best. Thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe that.
So then that's a Jew is not going to hell.
No,
I mean, you can't.
Here's my thing, Larry, is I can't judge somebody's heart, you know. I don't know. Only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, you know, in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you know, you're not going, you're not going, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I'm not going to be the God.
You believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart. But
for someone who doesn't share it,
well,
it is wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Andy.
Well, I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but
about atheists?
No, I just, you know what? I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth, and I say it every week. You know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not going to go around telling everybody else. If they don't want to believe that, that's going to be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. God's got to look at your heart. And only God knows that.
You believe there's a place called heaven?
I believe there.
Oh, boy. What about that? And that's some sidestepping going on. And he's a major, major player in leading someone to Jesus. It's very clever how that's worked. And you see now, this is representative of a lot of preachers today. Out there. And here's another good example. Another good example is this one.
I think is the future of Christianity. Well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think there's the body of Christ, which comes from all the Christian groups around the world or outside the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And I don't think that we're going to see a great sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ at any time. I think James answered that, the Apostle James, in the first council in Jerusalem, when he said that God's purpose for this age is to call out a people for his name. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is.
There's a wideness in God's mercy.
Jesus.
Whoa. You see how it's consistent? That's dangerous. Very dangerous indeed. What's going on? It makes you wonder what's happening. And in other interviews, see, all this is coming out in various interviews here lately. Here's another one, last one. Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me.
But what about those faiths, the Mormons and the others that you mentioned, believe in Christ? They believe they will meet Christ. What about those like the Jews, the Muslims, who don't believe as
you
believe?
That's in God's hands. I can't be the judge.
You don't judge them?
No. No,
how
I don't
do you
say
feel
you're
when,
going to hell. And you're, oh, I don't.
How do you feel when you see a lot of these strong Christian leaders go on television and say, you are condemned. You will live in hell if you do not accept Jesus Christ. And they are forceful and judgmental.
Well, they have a right to say that, and they are true to a certain extent, but that's not my calling. My calling is to preach the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the fact that He does forgive us. That's what the cross is all about, what the resurrection is all about. That's the gospel. And you can get off on all kinds of different side trails. And in my earlier ministry, I did the same. But as I got older, I guess I became more mellow and more forgiving and more loving. And the Jerry Falwells and people like that, I love them. I thank God for their ministry. He has a great university. And two of three of my grandchildren have gone there. And they have had a tremendous change in their lives for being there. And some of the other people are the same way, that on the other end of the extreme, Reinhold Niebuhr here in New York years ago preached against me or spoke against me. I loved him with all my heart. I went to see him. And all these people.
Well, something wrong with that. Because that's what he preached back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. It's all coming around to matching the New World Order. That's what's happening. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest not the warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. There's a problem there. When you're not warning them. They both have bowed out from ministering to others. Oh, it's not just them. There's a lot. They both have bowed out from ministering to others. It's required that they do. You see? It's part of the New Age movement to do just that. Osteen says that homosexuals will go to heaven too. If they're sick, you pray for them. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Study the Bible, pray much, win someone for Christ, and shun evil companions. Isn't that a hard one to do? Avoid bad people, bad books, and bad thoughts, and read the first Psalm. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What part hath he that believeth in with an infidel?" Is what it says in the Bible. "What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what hath he that worketh, believeth with an infidel?" 17. "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." What did he do with Abraham? When he became to Abraham, made the covenant, he pulled Abraham out of his own family. Because Abraham became the first Jew with that Abrahamic covenant. Until the time of the Gentiles. And when the time of the Gentiles came, and the Jews failed to bring the word of God to mankind, then the task of bringing the word to mankind fell upon the Gentiles. And guess what language it was? English. Why? It's a universal language. It's not culturally designed. It's made up of every word in the world, of almost every nationality. If the Jews had did what they're supposed to have done, then we'd probably be speaking Hebrew. You know what I mean? But that's not what happened. the Word of God was hidden for centuries and centuries throughout the Dark Ages. That's why they became the Dark Ages. Because God's real Word was hidden. The Vatican had it in Latin, and Latin is Satan's language. That's the language of witchcraft. And Satan's Luciferian language is Latin. Try to win the wicked for God, but do not choose them for your company and companions. When you try to marry someone to bring them up, they end up bringing you down. Does it always happen that way? No. Sometimes the wife can consecrate the husband, and sometimes the husband can the wife. But it's not good to start off otherwise. It doesn't work. You'll have troubles in the flesh. Next, you join some good church. Now it's difficult. Where there's two or more gathered, that's a church. Be sure that the church in which you may join or form, or Bible study, believes and teaches the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away all sins. That's very important. And the stripes of Jesus Christ to heal our diseases. Be faithful in your attendance. But then today, it is a problem to find that church. It's very difficult. They go by today how big it is. It must be real. Like the most people in the restaurant and all locals go there, it's got to be a good restaurant. Well, that's not necessarily true for a church. God's appointed a pastor, supposed to be the shepherd of a church. Problem today is you have Jesuits trained to be pastors, priests, rabbis, bishops, and generals of military are Jesuits. Castro was a Jesuit. Give to the support of your Lord's work in whatever way that the Holy Spirit might guide you. Do not become discouraged. Expect temptations and discouragement, persecution, interruptions. Your life as a Christian is a warfare. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. It's clear. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hello. The eternal God is thy refuge, and you have the promise that all things, even strange and hard difficulties, work together for our good. You'll find that in Romans 8:28. Remember that, especially in the future. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Who are called according to his purpose. And so many of God's brightest saints were once weak as we are. You are, me are. Me is, I was, I am still sometimes. You got that? You wrote that down, I hope. No, I hope not. But you know, through the same kind of trials that you have, that you're going to encounter, those were steadfast in their faith. Let the lies in being enriched by the experiences, not to take them down. Making the world better because you lived in it. Reminds you of that song or that, movie, It's a Wonderful Life or something like that. Although put into the backdrop of Christmas. But God always warned those with whom he called to never be afraid nor be discouraged. He's promised. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. These you want to remember. Things get a little ugly. Or discouraging of some kind. These are the kind of scriptures you want to remember. Romans 8:18, for example. For I reckon that the sufferings of his present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. 1 Corinthians, that's James 1:12. And 1 Corinthians 10:13. Oh, there is no temptation taken. Excuse me. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There. That's part of how to be a happy Christian. Happy, happy, happy. But be ready to be tested, tested, tested. Jesus, the Almighty God, did he ever claim to be God? He sure did. He sure did. You go to the religious leaders who attained a large following through history. Jesus Christ is unique in the fact that he alone claimed to be God in human flesh. And a common misconception is that some or many of the leaders of the world's religions made similar claims, but this is simply not the case. Buddha did not claim to be God. Moses never said he was Yahweh. Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards, by the way, in the Tetragrammaton, in the syllables. Muhammad did not identify himself as Allah, and nowhere will you find Zoroaster claiming to be Ashura Mazda. I don't mean Mazda with four wheels and a tank of gas, neither. Yet Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, said that he who has seen him has seen the Father. Ouch! Boy, I bet that hurt back then. I bet their teeth were grinding when he said that. That's their problem. John 14:9. Jesus said to them, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Hath saith then thou, show us the Father?" Well, the claims of Christ are many and very varied. He said he existed before Abraham. John 8:58. Way down here. Way down there. And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was I am." People gloss over these scriptures. I don't know if they white them out or something, or just put on blinders, but there it is. He said he's equal with the Father. John 5. 17 and 18. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh here too, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, see, even Jesus broke the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Boy, I bet that torqued their jaws. He claimed to have the ability to forgive sins. That's what the Pope is saying today, that the Pope can forgive sins. That one cardinal or whatever he was said the Pope could forgive sins. I beg to differ on that one. When Jesus saw that their faith, he said to the sick of this palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They answered the questions right there. And thus the Bible teaches was something that God alone could do. Isaiah 43:25. It says, all the way down here, 43, and all the way down here again. It says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. That's Old Testament. So the New Testament equated Jesus as the creator of the universe. John 1:3. Man, we just do this all night long. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the one that holds together everything together. Now, I've mentioned this to some people before. He's the one, the Holy Spirit keeps all of our particles, protons, photons, motons, I don't know, mojo, whatever, you know, all these particles together. Without him, we would fly off nothingness or whatever. So he's not like Michelangelo, paint some silly painting up there in the Sistine Chapel, whatever, showing a half-naked old man with white hair touching the finger of Adam. I don't think so. This is a God that's encompassing. He keeps all the particles together. His Holy Spirit is the fabric. Not just one individual. Heaven is not just one little, you know, out in the universe, some floating galaxy with a city. I mean, it's beyond. It's outside the known universe of today. Colossians 1:17. And they so minimize God in these churches and science and all that. Man, it's almost irreparable. That's where the tribulations are, weigh people up. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. There you go. Apostle Paul says that God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. John the Evangelist said that the Word was God. John 1:1. There's the Word. Y'all worship the Bible more. Well, the Bible's the Word of God, and the Word was God. Don't worship the Bible, because the Bible is Jesus. That's his Word. That means the King James Bible, the only Word of God, is the oldest book on the face of this planet, because it goes back to the creation. So the united testimony of Jesus and the writers of the New Testament is he's more than mere man. He was God. I'll talk more about this, I think, later. We need to get more into that. I can do this next week, y'all. We found where to end today on this Friday night. And I appreciate y'all coming by. It went by fast today, at least for me. I have no idea what happened today with my sound. I don't know at all. It's all back to normal. That was weird. Anyway, I think I'm going to name this complex I got here, this network, is HAL. We all have a great weekend. And any comments or questions or epiphanies, let me know. Next week, we're heading toward the 16th, the American Spring something or whatever. This revolutionary idea of so forth and so on. And here we go. Rah, rah, rah. But one of these are going to hit. Somewhere, the disclosure, this Sanand Emanuel, the fake Jesus called Yeshua. Man, they're pushing that hard as they can. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yahweh. That is not the name of God. It's not the name of Jesus Christ. Because they're trying to take it back to the Old Testament. And forget about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But bring on what they think is Messiah, Sanand Emanuel. And whoever they got put around the pigeonhole, whether it's Raj Patel or whether it's Prince William or Elmer Fudd that we thought was chasing Bugs Bunny, is going to come out. Whoever it is, you'll know who the real Antichrist is, but there's got to be some kind of major event to bring on someone to say, stop all, don't kill each other. Project Bluebeam, look it up. Let's cover some of that next week. Y'all have a good night. We're going to close in prayer, and then we shall move on our separate ways. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together in this Bible study. Thank you, Father, for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for leading us tonight, and Father, that we'll pass on to others what we've learned in ourselves. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your holy word. We call upon you, Father, for healing for our loved ones and divine appointments to lead us to the right path. And thank you, Lord, for conviction when we fall away. Father, endow us with wisdom, discernment, that we'll be able to witness to others. And, Father, to see through the deception of Satan. That, Father, we can pray against all that comes toward us. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, you all have a good night tonight and this weekend. And do the study. Watch around you what's going on. People, get ready. Because Jesus is coming. When? Don't know. That's his business. Our business is what we learned tonight. Is to spread that gospel. That's it. So that being said, enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you all Monday 4 o'clock. And real little bit idea. Don't forget about HighPointRadio.net and John Kirkler, HighPointRadio.net. We played there, and KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network, plays us also in Colorado. We appreciate that. So y'all have a great night. God bless. This is The Watchman, signing off. Good night. God bless. And the station will return to its 24-hour loop of archive broadcast. Good night. God bless.